I want to give you a little bit about Somerville community, how we view the challenge of reversing the trend of childhood obesity, how we classify it, how we approach it, how it's influenced every challenge or every effort in the community to build the community, and why we're really excited. I'm always excited to talk about it and what it means in terms of leadership. And Mark and Iman have touched on, have alluded to a lot of it. I love hearing Mark talk, and we've learned so much and gotten so much from him over the years. So, little thing about Somerville and our community, and about Shape Up Somerville. Shape Up Somerville is a community-based environmental approach to reversing the trend of childhood obesity. It has nothing to do with a mayor or an elected official mandating how you should act. There is no promulgation, no policy, no ordinance that I can declare that is going to change your behavior. We view the challenge of reversing the trend of childhood obesity, and Mark alluded to an eco-social challenge. It's an adaptive challenge. It really is. It's about plucking the hearts and minds and the value strength of the community to get them to do work, to change this thing. And what the First Ladies tried to do, let's move to mobilize a country and all its stakeholders to do work. I first want to tell you a little bit about Somerville, who we are. Our population is officially about 78,000 people and 4.1 square miles. We are the most densely populated city in New England. At one point, we were the world. We actually live in about 3 square miles because there are many parts of our city that are not fully developed yet. We speak 52 languages, and our schools and our neighborhoods, more than two-thirds of our school-age children receive reduced or free lunch. We are a mix of so many people. We're a very blue-collar community, but we mix them all together. We have the hipsters or the abnormals, we have the millennials, we have the baby boomers, the curmudgeons, they're all colliding in Somerville. It's a very special place, and we love it. We love it. And these variables are very important to us in analyzing and understand who we are as we try to mobilize people to undertake such work and challenges such as reversing the trend of childhood obesity. I became mayor in January 2004. Actually, 10 years ago today, David, was my election, and I won. And I took mayor and became mayor a few months later. One of the first visits I had was from Dr. Christine O'Connell, and I talked to her about her. I think she's a rock star on the childhood obesity movement. She recognized that this is so much about social change and how we live. It's not about losing weight. That's not the problem. It's about how we live and how we, as policymakers and decision makers, create the systems that cultivate the environments that influence the outcomes of how we live. And she came to see me in early 2004, early in my administration, and put this on my table. She said, "Mayor, we just completed a mapping exercise of all our school-aged children, first grades 1 through 3. And here's what we can tell you. 46% of Somerville's first through third graders are either obese or risk of being obese. And statistics have just come out that obesity rates have tripled in the United States over the previous 30 years. Now, I'll tell you one thing. That statistic certainly raised my disequilibrium. It got me on the edge of my seat to say, what do we have to do? What do I have to say? What do I have to sign? But what she talked about, she said, we have an opportunity here, much like we did around tobacco and other social change movements. We have an opportunity to mobilize a whole community. And what I need you to do is to be out there plucking the community's value strings, being the ambassador, raising, turning the heat up on the issue, getting people on the edge of their seats saying, I've got to do work. And thus, we launched this community-based environmental approach called Shape Up Somerville. And we took off. The initial study engaged all first through third grade classrooms across our community, consisting of 7 elementary schools and 90 educators. Again, it's always been about a community-based approach, not a technical approach. It's not a technical challenge. Nothing I can say or do. There's not a product on the shelf that you can remove and place in the community and solve the issue. People are going to have to do work, and you have to engage them to do work, and we're going to have to pluck people's value strings. We conducted or participated in an exhaustive round of community events. We recruited restaurants to think about ways to offer smaller portion sizes. We talked to our community garden enthusiasts, and our school officials and families across the city. We talked to our public safety and public health officials and looked for ways to engage city employees and large employees. We worked tirelessly with more than 350 community partners to get the message out and to identify and overcome our community challenges. And make no mistake, throughout this whole process, media played an important role. We wanted to turn the heat up on people, but we wanted to also start tackling and identifying the systems we needed to change, the environment we needed to change, and I'll talk about that, the environment we needed to change. And the results worked. The children in the program learned to make healthier choices, and their health benefited from it. And the most recent study results show that fewer Somerville children were obese or overweight after two full school years over the intervention. And if you're a data enthusiast, you look at BMI Z scores decreased on an average of about 0.06 in Somerville children. The bottom line is that kids gained less weight. And we know from all our health surveys over the year, our kids and our adults made better choices. And we started to see results, other results in the community, and I'll go into that in a second, to our economy, to our way of life, to our social bonds. But this pilot program also forced our community to ask itself, can we really do this citywide? Can we take the tenets of Shape Up Somerville, eat smart, play hard, move more? Can we, as policymakers, take those tenets and the systems approach and start identifying policy, the base, the foundation of that pyramid that Mark talked about, to cultivate the environments to influence the entire community, to live healthier lifestyles? And because if we're happier, we're healthier, we're happier, we're more productive. Can we make the healthy choice the easy choice? And really, this would require an active, even aggressive municipal government. And when it comes to issues like this, community health and well-being, I mean, I refuse to cede to the argument that government shouldn't be a player. I mean, government isn't just even an essential player. It is the essential player as we are elected leaders who drive the policy that shapes our lives every day. But why shape up some of them? Why make the healthy choice the easy choice? While we had to be the essential player, any city rollout would have had to remain a community-based effort to achieve success, to be truly sustainable so we don't drop off that cliff of the peak of success, as Mark showed you in his graph. A top-down plan would be just a technical approach to leadership, and this was really an adaptive challenge. And we really had to think about taking this on for the long haul. But while government can champion healthy living as a core civic value and take action in public policy areas where it has direct control, we do not and cannot control everything. We have to set the table correctly. We have to create the systems to cultivate the environments to influence behavior, to get out to eat smart, to get out to play hard, to get you to walk in those crosswalks, to walk in the pathways, to want to walk to the downtown business areas to shop, to get you access to healthy foods, to move more. Again, making that healthy choice the easy choice. And that really meant changing the environment of our community. And we have to create an environment so those healthy living options are everywhere, all around you. And making the healthy choice really isn't intrusive, but really a natural part of every person's day-to-day life. And that takes, as Mark said, that bottom-up, community-based wide effort, setting that foundation. And, as Mark talked about the stealth team, what he was really also alluding to, and I like stealing stuff from Mark because he has great verbiage, it's really about values. It's about values. Now, we're guided by one orienting value in Somerville, to make it an exceptional place to live, to work, to play, to raise a family. That's our overarching purpose. Any policy decision we want to implement or propose has to align with a value that aligns with that overarching purpose. Now, who would here not agree that promoting healthy living, raising and nurturing the healthiest generation of our lifetime, is not a value that aligns with that? So, in doing so, it's about identifying the systems of your community. And the childhood obesity effort is the systems around that created the environment that led to a certain consequence. So think about it this way. Mark's going to give you, you're going to go on a tour of the Big Dig, and thank you for all your tax dollars around the country because it worked. But think about it this way. If you lived in a community where your neighborhoods and downtowns were dotted with trolleys and rail stops, almost 20. And in those downtowns, you had access to food and fresh and wholesome food and produce. And you can access by walking or biking your parks and open space. And think about, turn the clock ahead, and let's think about policy decisions that led to all those trolley and rail stops being removed. A major interstate highway comes in and uproots thousands of homes and hundreds of families. A secondary arterial is expanded. We have no land use policies for the future. We've adopted the models of suburban sprawl. We have now urban sprawl. The car has become king. And on your And on your streets and sidewalks in your downtowns, you know, you have fast food or fast casual. And instead of those little markets where you can get all those wholesome products, you now have your liquor stores and package stores. And maybe your streets aren't as safe anymore because there's too much traffic. You won't let your kids be, as Mark would tell you in his book, free range. The days your parents had opened up the door and you'd run around and you'd come back for lunch, they'd throw you back out, you come out for dinner. Think about the consequences of the policies and the systems and the environments that cultivates. You can almost imagine the health and social consequences and economic consequences. That might be your city, urban or rural. That was my city. From about mid-century until the last 10 years, that's what happened. In mid-century, we had 20 rail or trolley stops, and some have gone until 1984. We failed to implement policies to unlock and promote and cultivate and preserve our downtowns. We lost downtown activity. Interstate 93, which you can see from the distance, cut right through Somerville, cut neighborhoods off from one another, cut ourselves off from our food source. Route 28, McGrath Highway, McCarthy Overpass, cut one part of the city off from one another. So we had land use policies that did not exist, so people wouldn't walk to that downtown. They wouldn't take their kids to the park. I would use this example. Mark mentioned the crosswalk area. I remember being in D.C. about 5 or 6 years ago. I told Mark this story, and I'm walking across from the Hilton up on the hill, and the countdown clock was running. I had 42 seconds. 42 seconds across an intersection no wider than this room. A six-lane secondary arterial in Somerville run by the state 18 seconds, and I see my mother, who's now 80, recently still sprinting across that highway. Sprinting across, and I called my staff and said, I want you to count. This is how many times I'm going across this, and this is why it's all wrong. And families from housing developments, parents have to walk their kids with the shopping cart across the six-lane arterial just to get an opportunity for that good and wholesome food. And south side of Chicago, they'd have to take a bus 5 to 7 miles just to buy fresh produce. We created those environments with our policy. We made that decision. So it's really about this. How do our policies and systems collide to produce how we act? It's about the greater ecosystem, and this is what Shape Up Somerville has taught us as well. It's not about losing weight. It's not about losing weight, but we started to identify those systems, the environment we wanted to attack as a community on childhood obesity. So systems around the ones aligned here. And Mark's, you know, stealth group pretty much aligns one-on-one with this. And again, it heartens back to the Stringerfield policy decisions that made it increasingly difficult for people to walk, to bike, or take mass transit, that neglected the importance of open space, that saw limited access to healthy food options and increased access to and reliance on unhealthy foods, especially for children. Changing only one system, for instance, introducing healthy food options at schools or banning trans fats, it's not going to get the job done. And we had to identify everything that shaped our environment. Access to fresh foods is obvious, but what about impact on our local zoning, as Mark mentioned? How does zoning affect how much exercise people get, how much open space we have? And for the most densely populated city in New England, that's a big deal. That's a real big deal. Once we broke down the systems that created the environment, we could then determine what kind of policy changes we can make in each system to design and transform that environment and really drive the outcomes. So in our schools, you won't find trans fats, friolators, or chocolate milk, the least of which had surprisingly little pushback from parents, especially my kids as well. We now serve lean meats and whole grains, fresh fruits and vegetables, whereas before 90% of what you ate in our schools was prepackaged, opened up, pre-prepared, nuked, and put out. Almost all of that is now prepared on-site. It is fresh. It is good. It is better. It is wholesome. I crack up when my football players, who I coach high school football, talk about school lunch. Like, you have no idea, buddy. But we went through as kids what we had to eat. I mean, it's unbelievable to think we actually ate that. We've instituted a taste testing opportunities for students and a vegetable of the month programs. We engage the students and families to do work. And our motto has been everything in moderation. And a big key to our success in the way of healthy food service is education to kids and parents. And you think about, we speak 52 languages in our schools. How do we reach all those parents? How do we teach them culturally sensitive ways to feed their kids what they're used to, but cooked in a way, prepared in a way that is healthier for them? Pushing skim and 1% milk at lunchtime doesn't mean forcing this or that as their only option. It means increasing education about the benefits of eliminating chocolate milk and making the choice easy and interesting. And already we're seeing a noticeable shift in what youth are choosing to eat. But it's not enough to institute policy changes around healthy eating in our schools. although that's a critical step. We also need policies that keep kids out active every day and making it habitual, making it not even a second thought. Again, the models, the tenets of eat smart, play hard, move more is our continued mantra. We found that overwhelmingly, our youngest students embrace that lifestyles, those lifestyles, and are helping their parents to understand the benefits. So from safe walks to schools, from cycle kids, teaching our kids how to ride bikes, giving them bicycles, access to new bikes at pretty much no cost, creating after-school program choices and structured recess time, preschool physical activity programs in our schools, like our Box Build Our Kids to Success program. It all gets kids regularly active and in the habit of choosing to walk to school, bike to school, and exercise ways and ways that are fun and easy. And we know from our health surveys, more and more people are choosing to do so because we set the table. Active transportation and zoning, this is something I am just at the heart, we talked about at the heart, that I'm very passionate about. And Mark did a lot to advise Somerville at the very beginning. You know, what you see at the top right-hand corner is what the city will be in the next 10 years. Today, Somerville, only 15% of our population is within a half-mile walking or biking distance to a transit node. Because the first transit stop that came to our community after the 50s, wasn't until 84 in Davis Square. And the next several years, less than 10 years, it'll transform from 15% of the population to 85% of the population being within a half mile walking or biking distance of a transit node. And that's been huge for us. So we've worked hard on repainting the canvas to get people more active, to diminish the dependency on automobile. And what we're finding in the urban core, and this is around the country, around the metropolitan regions, people want to walk and bike more. They're less dependent on the automobile. If you create the environment to do so, they will take advantage. And that is true because we are seeing the greatest demographic shift in our nation's history since mid-centuries. Again, we're millennials, baby boomers, and those hipsters, they're moving and living the urban core, and they want to be active and healthy around culture, around academia, around their financial institutions, around jobs. And if we create that environment, it has huge upside for all of us. So we've done that infrastructure. We've painted more than 30 miles of bike lanes and sharrows and created around the city. We've had a very aggressive investment in our AD accessibility programs, making sure that accessibility is for everyone, no matter who you are, no matter your status physically or your socioeconomic status. And the same thing on the recreation and open space. Somerville, again, only 4.1 square miles, less than 5% of our land, about 5% of our land is a recreation open space, so it better be in good condition. It has to be flexible. It has to be dynamic for a very eclectic, dynamic society. And in the last 10 years, we've designed, built, renovated, in the process of designing a building, more than 30 parks, recreational spaces, community gardens. If it's a postage stamp of an area, we're going to claim it. We passed a Community Preservation Act in Somerville, which allows us to put a surcharge on people's tax bill. Now it's passed 3-1, leverage debt against borrowing, and we'll be able to put a great chunk of that at creating new open space or improving access and making our open space even more dynamic. We engage the business community as part of this community-based effort to change the environment around the systems that influence in childhood obesity. Our Shape Up Somerville approved initiative. We got our businesses engaged because they knew there was an economic benefit if the social and health well-being of our community was strong. And a funny story about this, that we helped promote the businesses. We didn't tell them to change the whole menu, just to give some healthier portion sizes and options for people to choose from. And give people those choices. Give them that option and help them educate them. As I promoted and went around, and we'd have the Where's Joe campaign, as I went to eat and all the new restaurants, I actually gained weight. So I was sort of an outlier in this whole study. And we're engaging them in the whole urban ag movement in Somerville. Somerville passed the first comprehensive urban agricultural ordinance in this state. Promoting beekeeping, keeping of chickens, you know, community gardens. And we become a regional restaurant draw. We're going to partner with that business community to create our own farm stands and our own thriving urban ag movement, moving more towards aquaponics and hydroponics. And we're bringing that access to food, not just in our squares where you can access our food markets or winter markets, but what we found by utilizing data, there's many people who didn't access those markets. Those families who work more than one job just to get 3 meals a day on the table, our food deserts aren't caused by distance and land, but transportation infrastructure that cut through our community that doesn't service us, who can't get to that market because they might need a car or can't walk that far. So bringing mobile markets to our housing developments, to communities in need or neighborhoods in need, has been a great success. our well-being report, and we utilize data regularly to tell our story, shows our high school students, our students as a whole, and adults are making better choices, meeting vigorous or moderate physical activity guidelines. That's my timetable to tell me to shut up, and I'll be done soon. So the data shows we're heading in the right direction. By shaping the environments, we're changing people's behavior. You can see the choices are changing, how many times they choose to eat snacks and sweets during the day, through all age groups of every grade in all our schools. And that's really important, because what we're trying to build, what we're trying to do is not tell you how to live and not make you lose weight. We're trying to build a happy, healthy, productive community. We're trying to also, in this endeavor, strengthen our social ties and bonds. And at the same time, by doing so, what we've seen is that our local economy has thrived. During the greatest abyss of this great recession, over the last 3 years, we've opened up almost 80 new small businesses because we built a healthier, more bikeable, more walkable, more socially conscious community, guided by one oriented value, making Somerville an exceptional place to live, work, play, raise a family, and promoting our well-being, our health, healthy living, and activity has been at the forefront with that. So that's just a small taste of where I come from and seeing how the city plays a role, how leadership plays a role, and David is going to give you a little bit more about some of the data. So I look forward to taking your questions later. Thank you. Thanks, Jeff.